Because mental health affects everybody.
Yeah.
It's just, where are you in relation to your own personal mental health?
A lot of people come into these rooms, they're weak, they're frail, they're not weak, they're certainly not weak because they're there.
Yeah.
You know, right, trying is winning in my eyes always.
Yeah.
You try, you're winning.
Welcome to The Gab, a fortnightly podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. This is episode 14. This time I decided to sit and have a discussion about male mental health. I called upon two friends for a chat, Andrew Carney and Declan Slattery. Sit back, have a listen and have a cuppa.
Hi everyone, and you're very welcome to our podcast today. I decided to have a discussion this time, which is great, with two very good friends of mine. To my left and side here, I have Declan Slattery, a.k.a. Slats, as we call him as well. And Declan, great guy, local celebrity around the town of Tuam. But most importantly, he is the outgoing president of the Tuam Rugby Club as well. And I suppose a mental health advocate, always out to help somebody. And to my right hand side, we have Andrew Carney. Andrew Carney is a teacher in St. Charles College here in Tuam. He's a writer, he's an actor, a playwright, you name it. He has it done at this stage. But it's great to have you both in the room, lads. Thanks a lot for joining me today.
Thanks, Ronnie.
Thanks Cheers. A lot. Now, I suppose the most important thing is I want to open the floor about mental health and male mental health. I'm just wondering, let's be honest, is the message getting out there for men to talk? What do you think, lads? Who wants to take it? Andrew?
Well, I think slowly but surely, Ronan, definitely the dialogue is opening up now. And maybe the culture is shifting in that at least the conversation is being had. And maybe there's less, there might be less trepidation about it in that maybe, you know, if I was to bounce on my role as a teacher straight away, this generation probably wouldn't raise the eyebrows if the topic of mental health comes up. Whereas, and the three of us are of the same generation, really, just hypothetically, if mental health was bounced around the room at that stage of our lives, it might have been one of those where we think, where is this going now? So that's my initial reaction, that the dialogue is very much one that's receptive, but it's where it goes after that and how far it can go and how brave are people, I suppose maybe brave is not the right word, but open are they to continuing the discussion or moving it somewhere where it can help?
Yeah, I think the situation, yeah, you're dead right. We are out there, we are talking about it, but the problem is, I'm just wondering, is it sinking in with guys how important it is to talk? I think that's the big thing, because it's on the billboards, it's on the radio, it's on the TV, it's everywhere, it's in your face. But just looking at stats there from the Irish Times from last year, from September of last year, 2021, 340 people lost their lives to suicide. There's 365 days in the year. That's nearly one a day.
Wow.
It's big stuff. Yeah. It is big stuff. Now, bear in mind, back in 2000... right up to 2008, we were talking about 552, if I'm not really mistaken, back in 2009, which is around the time of the recession kind of kicking in and people were probably in a different headspace and all that. How do you feel about it, Declan? Where do you think we are with the whole idea of men speaking, and especially in the rugby side of things, where we have this perception that a rugby guy, or lady for that matter, well-built, confident, is it as confident as we make it out to be?
Just to tail back there, I do recall it, it must be 2000, maybe 99, 2000. And I suppose cancer was a massive, massive one. I'm going a small bit off topic,
no,
but to come back on topic.
Yeah,
and that was a group of us rugby lads, maybe 20 odd. And we sat down in a pub and it was probably around Six Nations time. And Lord rest him, I remember Bert Gillard, who was a serious, serious man for Tuam Cancer Care and stuff, and was involved in rugby also at the same time in Tuam Rugby. But he put the question to us all. He says, how many of you here are directly affected by cancer? And I'd safely say at that time probably six guys put their hands up, and then it borrowed onto how many guys know a friend or know somebody else that's affected by it, not directly affected by it. And it increased or whatever. forward on 20 years, and if we were to sit down in the same positions, in the same pub, and have the same chat, and it was on mental health,
yeah,
I'd safely say that 18 of those guys have put their hand up. We'd an open training session one Saturday with all the squad. I was involved as manager at the time, and I had just come off a show, Doctor in the House and stuff, and it focused in on mental health and fertility, as it so happened at the time with us, but which in it came in line with mental health and fertility with me, because we had a lot going on at the time, but we won't dwell on that at the moment.
Yeah.
And I was asked by the then head coach, he says, would you have a chat with the lads on the day? Mike Comer was coming up doing fitness. Pete Finnerty was coming up on pretty much any inspirational story you could get from a guy. Was, you know, Pete Finnerty, he's that type of guy. Like, Pete has that effect on you. And I was amongst guys that were in their own field, probably at the top of their field. And I was saying, why don't they get somebody from Pieta, somebody from here? And they said, no, you're in the moment. You suffer with mental health. You know, can you just describe, just talk to the lads. So it was a silent room, and we had a squad, probably trained at the time, of 40 lads. And I'll always remember leaving. The clap, everything, the whole, all that stuff was irrelevant. I knew by their eyes. I looked around the room, and I knew by some of their eyes, the young guy's eyes, I says, hold on, man, I'm hitting serious notes here.
Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong. It's very important to go to a professional about situations, right? And that's fair enough, and to get professional advice. But I've always and ever said, it's when you have somebody on the same level as yourself that you're able to relate to, look into their eyes and say, guess what? It's not all that bad. Have a chat with me. Because sometimes I think when people have this professional thing, that there's the professional up there and we're maybe down here, the relationship might not be hidden. Do you know what I mean? Whereas you obviously, you are one of the lads, one of the boys that were brought in to just have a chat. You struck a chord, and thankfully it worked.
Yeah, most definitely that day, because I followed on with a few of the guys, not alone our own club. I'd be involved with the Connacht Juniors as well, and they come from a variance of clubs all over Connacht. And I'd be that type of guy that would be very approachable.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of it as well. But we're going to track back a touch again, and I'm not a professional. Yeah. You know, I've been in avenues and areas where people need a lot, a supreme amount of help. Let's just say they're on a further path with mental health than others. You know, it's affected them maybe from their past or in areas like this, areas where I couldn't relate. And I found that hard, leaving a room with somebody that I couldn't help. You know, and the direction was probably Pieta.
Absolutely. And we'll get on to Pieta over the next little while and the amount of work that they do, because they do a phenomenal amount of work. But I think the thing about it is, sometimes, you know, as you said, lads had gone on to a kind of a different level in the sense that they were probably further into mental health. But it's great to feel that there's a few of them there that might be just initially going through a kind of a tough time, that you might have pretty much told them, don't go any further, get the help that you need, and then be able to kind of progress positively. Which I think is very, very important. As you said, obviously, further than that is professional help, and that's fair enough. Moving on, Andrew, to schools. You're in a school environment. Not only are you a teacher, I find teachers are psychologists, psychiatrists, you name it. You've got the whole shooting caboodle. But to notice that one guy or girl in a class that might be slightly detached from the rest of the group, or you might just notice that they might be just going through a tough time. How do you approach? What do you do? Where do you go about that?
Yeah, it's a very delicate one. What I found over time as well, when I first started teaching, obviously you're inexperienced and you make mistakes as well, you try and be the strict teacher for a few years and eventually you settle on just being yourself, good, bad or indifferent. And some lads are like, and some lads won't, and some lads will be indifferent, but you have to be yourself. And the more you are yourself, the more open you are to just others. Yeah. And definitely that old cliche, you know, it's about the students, but it really is. And you know, to steer it back to your question there, then, yeah, you pick up on vibes, you get to know lads. I've been teaching lads a number of years now. I did teach in a girls' school as well, but that was earlier in my career. But my more recent work, and over a number of years, has been in Jarlath's, obviously, in Tuam. So you kind of, you watch lads and maybe you get a hunch. And where you go with that, as Declan said, and it was in the back of my mind as well, but he's spot on, we're not professionals. And, you know, I'm an English and a history teacher. I'm not a mental health teacher, but I have a huge interest in the area of mental health, which, as we all know, is incredibly broad. So you identify somebody and say, you just try and find out a bit more. You might talk to them, but you might find how they're getting on, all in a very positive way. And, you know, if there was misbehaviour, we'll say it's not the standard bowel letter, the lad being bowled. There could be anything. It could be a bad morning. It could be a lack of a breakfast. It could be a relative being sick or a parent being sick. There could be any amount of triggers there whatsoever. And over the years, you know, looking back, I'd probably cringe to my earlier years where I'd be too quick to be the teacher and just give out to a lad or whatever. But the longer you're in this job, we'll say, the more you stand back a little bit. And that's where you might get a dialogue going. And then if you do, I suppose you're looking at referral, then, you know, it could be a Pieta house. It could be somebody more suitable in the school, but just maybe a conversation because, you know, as Declan was saying there, it's very powerful that, you know, a 40-minute conversation can lead to 10 lads putting their hand up. But that's an avenue for a lad to come out and talk about this stuff. And, you know, he's not one of 10. He's just one. It happened to be 10. You know, we 550-odd students in this school. And, you know, mental health will be, to varying degrees, a huge thing, especially when you're dealing with teenagers.
Yeah.
And lads who get to, you know, who are just trying to find themselves. And, of course, you know, mental health affects both genders. But, you know, we're aware that the males, you know, maybe it's the old stereotype. We're not as quick to communicate. We're not as good at communicating. Maybe, you know, putting the ego and the macho thing aside and getting the emotions out is difficult. But if I was to identify someone, I still don't have the full answer as to where it goes next. Sometimes I feel it. Without going into it, I've, off the top of my head, you know, tried to help 4 lads directly in the last 6-7 years to varying levels of success. But by God, I wouldn't want to say the wrong thing either or go down the wrong
road.
And
you have
to know your limitations.
You do, but the other thing, there's a very fine line as into if you walked over to a young lad and maybe just opened a conversation, then all of a sudden you said, is everything okay? You might have a situation that comes back at you. Why, you know, resistance straight away of why'd you pick me? There's 35 other lads in the class. Is there a reason why you picked me out to ask me how I am? So you're also dealing with, I suppose, you know, people going through puberty as well. It's a difficult time in the sense that they're, as you said, they're trying to find themselves in different avenues in their lives. And then to have a teacher kind of coming over asking you, are you okay? You know, almost why aren't you integrating into a particular group? Is everything all right in that side of things? It is difficult. Do you think, lads, and I'll throw this open to the floor, is the whole male mental health thing, is it something that comes from, you know, down along the line with family and stuff like that? Is it almost like hereditary in the sense that dad never talked? So why would I talk? Why will I bother if dad didn't do it? Dad was a hard man.
Yeah, definitely. Geez, I'd have to say that. Like anybody that I would have spoke openly about their mental health or my own mental health, definitely led down that road where you got to look into genetics and that side of things. But I don't know. I'm really at odds with that one because I'm going to say it. My dad was one of the most humorous men going. His one-liners were second to none. Like, it's just brilliant. And when he came into a room, all he wanted to do was brighten up people's days. But he worked nonstop. He had that ethic of just work nonstop. My grandmother on my dad's side had lost her husband very, very young, very, very young. My dad, I think, was 15, 16 when he lost his dad and stuff. And I think that plays a part. Where it tails after, where it lands at a level where maybe you contemplate suicide and stuff like that, there's a huge gap there. There's a massive gap there.
Yeah.
For the kids as well, as you said, Andrew mentioned there about them, they come into a stage where they come into secondary school. And what we're seeing here now is actually it's been addressed in national school.
Yeah, it's moving back all the time.
It's moving back, you know, and that means it's skipping by going back. It's moving back generations and stuff. And just out of interest, I went to a professional I do recall her saying to me that we're going to have to go back into the subconscious, you know, and we're going to have to really deal with stuff that happened in the womb. And we're going to
really?
To, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and did I want to go back that far? I thought I'd come so far. Do I really want to go back this far?
I don't and remember I think, that since you.
I think when we're going on to the professional side of things, yeah. A lot of people come into these rooms, they're weak, they're frail. They're not weak. They're certainly not weak because they're there.
Yeah.
You know, trying is winning in my eyes always.
Yeah.
You know, you try, you're winning. You know, this crack of putting kids and stuff under pressure that you win at all costs. Trying is winning. You know, I've coached a bit as well, and trying for me is winning. So just going back to that point, going back into the womb and going back in that, I was kind of going, do we really need to go there? I was saying to myself, is this what I'm after giving? You know, and I was switched off. I was switched off. So maybe the approach, maybe the mental health approach these professionals are, the road they're going down, is it all out of the one book? Is it all out of the one script? Do you know, is it time to kind of...
Well, I think the problem is that, you know, let's be honest, the situation is that you kind of switched off because it got very scientific at that stage, whereas you wanted to kind of deal with situations on a human level. And maybe it just kind of, that's where the detachment kind of came. Do you know what I mean? Where you were kind of saying, wait a second now, you know, I know you have a job to do, I respect that, but...
Small bit of a jump from
the
question you asked, you know, about the older, harder men.
Yeah.
You know, like what I came into in 1995, Andrew, in our own rugby club, these guys were chiseled.
Yeah.
They were chiseled. Certainly some of them, only four, I looked at their chests when I'd be in second row, I'd look up at our front row and see what way they were breathing, had their hearts, what was going on there. Like some of the stuff that was being said in front row, your mother, blah, and all this crap. Everything was kind of coming out. And I was 18 years of age, 19, probably landed on the team solely because of my size and my height. And like Pete Finnerty, I remember mentioning first night up at training, he said, you ran at me. He says, man, yeah, I wasn't going to quake in my boots, but the fact that you dropped, he says, maybe 6 foot from me. He said, and I didn't even get a chance to tackle you. I knew you didn't know a whole pile about rugby, he says, but I was expecting a small bit more impact. And a year with those guys certainly chiseled me, and certainly I wasn't going to open it up. I'll be honest with you. I came into that as a teenager that was really suffering in school. In school, I really, really suffered. Really, really suffered. And I had nobody to kind of turn to. Yeah. I had a hard grandfather on my mother's side.
Yeah.
I had my dad constantly working.
Yeah.
And my brother got mushroom.
Yeah.
You know, any of the male figures I could have turned to weren't there. And to be honest with you, and there was some fantastic teachers in the school. But I didn't feel there was an avenue. There was an avenue for me to, you know, I had an uncle who was fantastic, but he was very forward thinking.
Yeah.
In his ways, like, and he kind of thought maybe, you know, you'll get over it. You'll push on, you'll push out of it.
Yeah, but that's the thing about it. I think there was an awful lot of that. Listen, will you stop talking that whole rubbish now and come on, let's move on. Do you know that kind of stuff? And it was almost like a way of, but all you were doing really was departmentalizing the problem to maybe manifest at another time, which was probably happening.
It was stacking.
It was, yeah. Stacking
I do recall asking my dad that I wanted to be a block layer. Mm. He said, what age are you? I said, I'm 17. I said, if dad didn't know that I'm in awful trouble, come on, like, he should know my age. I said, I'm 17, Dad. He said, double that. I said, 34. Your back will be broke at 34, he says.
Yeah.
Your back will be broke at 34. You're not going to be a block layer and stuff. These were the general conversations. It wasn't, you know, leading me down another avenue. I was left lost.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be a block layer. And as you said there, it just manifested. It was like blocks being laid.
Exactly.
13, 14, an incident, 16, 17. And I had no place, no avenue to open up. We have these avenues, but did they open up? Probably should be going through you, Ronan.
No, not at all. It's an open discussion.
Did these avenues open up just all of a sudden? I know they've always been there. We've had St. Bridget's. And myself, I personally, was in St. Bridget's. So I seen what was going on down there. And I was, listen, super. I needed time away myself. I needed to get there. It probably, in fact, sitting here with the two of you, probably saved my life. That stage in my life, it saved my life going there.
Just moving on from that then as well. Obviously, you know, life is a lot different now than it was 20, 25, 30 years ago. Things are a lot faster. Things are moving faster. Technology is moving faster. Social media has taken over the world. Is social media, and I'll ask you straight up, Andrew, on this, do you think that social media, even though we use it for our own reasons and school reasons or whatever, is it a huge part to play in mental health issues with men?
Yeah, I would say so, Ronan. And in different ways, too, it can be potentially the problem. It could be potentially the solution, because the volume of stuff that's on it. And, you know, I'd be a social media user, you know, my personal stuff, and maybe, you know, the golf club in Jarlath, I love promoting Jarlath. And obviously, you know, through the theatre, I learned the hard way. You have to use social media or you've no audience. I remember my first show, the play that I wrote back in 2011. I remember thinking, I don't want to be putting up on social media too much now, because you'll only annoy people. And, you know, sure, there's nobody there. And then you soon learn. But anyway, but to bring it back to what we're thinking about, social media brings with it a language. And, like, thinking about what we said there a few minutes ago about the dialogue, you know, and Declan spoke about it very well, but, like, there was the strong, silent male. That was the archetype. And it was silent because there wasn't a dialogue. But you could go on Instagram, though, depending on what pages you follow, but there are all these terms like overthinking, anxiety, you know, overt, covert. Jesus, like, I would have known maybe extrovert, introvert as a young lad, you know, that's the language of mental health. And somebody said to me lately, you know, I was talking about it here, and they said, like, without trying to be funny or you know, ironic, you know, when did this start? Like, how did we cope? We didn't have the mental health stuff, but we did. We just didn't talk about it, or we didn't know it. Now, social media, again, you know, what you're following, what you're reading is very important. It can have great benefits. You know, obviously, your show, Ronan, the rugby club, tech, you know, I've Jarlath's here. So much good can come from that. You can validate, you can acknowledge, you can build someone up. But then the flip side of that as well, you know, there isn't really, some of it's scattergun now, and some of it's quite loose. And then a young lad, you know, if I bring it back to the mail again, might read something in a status that may or may not be correct and think, oh, that's me, or that's not me. Is there a bit of a self-diagnosis going on then? It's so pervasive now.
It is,
It's everywhere.
It's the misinformation. It's the filters. It's the guys adding muscles to the body that they don't have. It's putting a young guy or guys into a mad false perception of what a male should look like, what he should sound like, what the way his hair should be. I think we could nearly call it, apart from the positives that we spoke about there, and it is very positive in different respects, keeping people socially connected and all that, but is it a silent bully? Do you know what I'm trying to say to you? Is it kind of like the bully that's on the underground there, kind of like, this is the way you should look, this is the girl that should be on your shoulder, this is the type of person that you should be? Is there a little bit of that? No, I know it's been fed by humans, let's be honest with you. I'm not saying that the social media is wrong. I'm just saying that all this feeding information is molding a person's mind into what it wants you to be, not what you want to be.
Yeah, that there's that perception. And also, what does it say about them in their minds? Like, something that struck me there, you know, you use the metaphor, Ronan's lurking underneath. But if you're somebody who's trying to find themselves and they're searching for confidence, you know, tying that to 252 likes or 471 engagements, or this person said that, or somebody didn't say that, or how's that looking? No, it's tough. I think, geez, I'd use a lot myself. Use it as much as you want while you're getting something out of it, and it's for you and it's for other people. But if you're tying it to your sense of self-worth, if your self-esteem, which is obviously a huge contributor to your mental health, if that's tied in with that, that's a very slippery slope. And while you have the positive that the dialogue has been opened, there is that potential negative side where, it becomes a monster. That becomes an all-pervasive monster. And you know, you want to get your headspace to where you're looking at yourself and you're looking inwardly and not just getting maybe, I don't know, supply the right word, but something from the outside. And maybe it's easier when, you know, you're up in your 40s, and maybe you can be a bit more flippant about that. But bringing it back to the idea of young people too, and it's not necessarily about young males' mental health. But when somebody doesn't know themselves yet, or maybe, you know, doesn't know their flaws yet either, That's a dangerous word. I've mixed feelings about social media, even though I use it quite a bit.
Yeah, so do I. I think the most important thing, I wrote actually a piece for the kind of Tribune a couple of weeks ago, and it was, are we in control of our use of social media, or is social media in control of us? In the sense that, is it us that's fueling the situation, or should we take a step back at time and say, right, it's dinner time. We're sitting down, we're having a chat with whoever's across the table. But there's always that thing in the back of your mind that the phone is still over there. I can see it. Wait a second, the screen is after brightening up on it there. Somebody must have sent me a text, or it could be a notification on Instagram. You know, I worry at times in case we do become very reliant on that, and that is a measure of the person. How do you feel about social media?
I think we're there.
Yeah, okay.
I think the time for worrying is
over.
Is breezed past. Yeah. We're there, like. Like, I'm looking at my own phone here. I have it turned down here on the table, down to one side. I would not be a massive bar for... I spent 6 years as PRO of the rugby club, and I found out then how important it was to a club, a business. As Andrew spoke about there, you know, like when he was trying to get his play off the ground and stuff, he would have lost serious ground by not getting it out there. Mm-hmm. And then we had the flip side, and I handed over the PRO reign to a right good guy. He studied journalism and everything, the whole lot. He's brilliant. He's super at the moment, Martin there. And he had a complaint from an older, a right older, one of the stalwarts of the club. And he said, Jez, we're seeing nothing in the hurdle. What's going on, he says, and how come you don't send text messages anymore?
Yeah.
You know, and then flip it over and twist it back, and we've guys in Auckland, Dubai, Sydney. What a report. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thanks for that report. I wouldn't have seen it any other way. Or, you know, it's national. It's an epidemic, if you ask me. It needs to be in your hand. It needs to be in your hand. How fast it's getting into your hand. You know, so as Andrew said, it's double-edged sword. It really it is. It's stabbing us, and it's defending us. You know,
it has its obviously its sides, but I do think that it's moving so fast, and we're moving so. It's no more than ourselves in the radio station. The situation is, you know, anybody can listen to us at any time on the Galway FM app. Like, you know, it's just there, and it's very readily available. I could do a competition on air. And in 10 minutes' time, I'll get a text message into our WhatsApp from Michael in Kentucky, who would have heard it 30 seconds or 40 seconds later on the app, and he's getting involved in the competition. So it is like that. It's worldwide, as you said. If you want to call it an epidemic, it is. And that's the thing about it. But life in general is moving a lot faster. Like we know from your dad's time, from your grandparents' time, you know, Ireland was known as a grand pedestrian country. We were grand. It mightn't be done now, but it'll be done. We'll get there. The turf will get home and everything else. But everything is just so quick now. And I think that it's like let's put it this way. It's like Sky. It's on demand. Everything is on demand now. You're annoyed if you're 90 seconds standing in a queue in a shop now. We're all a little bit tense because we need to move as quick as everything else. Is that a major factor as well in mental health? That our minds have become so fast that we don't have time to generate the information, and that we're just literally making ourselves up into a complete and utter ball. Is the mind able for that, Andrew?
Yeah, that's the question, Ronan. And, you know, are we able? I read a piece last year. It asks a simple question. Can we be bored anymore? You know,
yeah.
Are we able to be bored? Because everything's at our fingertips now, you know. And as we were saying there a few minutes ago, that phone is in the hand, and listen to a podcast, maybe like this one, reading a book, checking online. But can you afford yourself the privilege, even on a train, of just being alone with your thoughts, which is what we had to do? I was in study here as a young lad. Now, I didn't study very hard, but I was here. And sometimes, you know, your mind would wander and you just think and you drift. But we have this tool in our hands now that can give us information straight away. And young people are brilliant now at bite-sized information. You know, they can tell you anything. About anything. But to stick with something over a long period of time, you know, like a lad said in the class last year, it was very funny. We were talking about this actually in a roundabout way. And he said, yeah, my dad said to me at home, once upon a time, you had to be on time for everything. And I wasn't sure initially, and I asked him, he said, well
I know where he's going with this. Yeah, yeah.
And he was our generation. Well, you didn't have the phone to say you're late, because we all do it like, oh, I'm running late by 10, 15 minutes here. We have this thing where we can tune in, tune out. But it was just the kind of authenticity of that. And you're right, you know, you catch yourself sometimes in a queue, it could be for O'Toole's, and you know, there might be lottery tickets checked, whatever, but do we have the discipline now to think, well, okay, it's not about me and my, you know, watch. This could be a person of a certain age, generation. This might be the only meaningful conversation they have in a day. They don't want a young person or a younger person shaking their head behind them, because, as you said, society moves so fast now. Yeah. It's just everything has become accelerated. And with so, you know, maybe the question is like, we've so many options, so much information. We have this capacity to not be bored anymore. But yet, mental health is as prevalent, and the discussion around it is as prevalent as it ever was, if not more so, because is there an anxiety coming up?
But see, the anxiety is there. It's almost like the imposter syndrome, where you're doubting yourself. You're constantly doubting yourself. And maybe that's a situation too with the technology. Some people are quicker at technology than others. Not everybody's up to speed on exactly how to get the right filters on Instagram and how to do this and that and the other on Facebook. And, you know, so maybe that's an anxiety within men as well, that they're maybe not as quick as their friends at it. And that can create his own mental problem, that, you know, you feel like you're nearly tracking behind on things.
Just home was a real safe place, like,
yeah,
old-fashioned home for me. Mm. Like, because I my dad was from the country and my mom was from the town. Mm. And you know, I had two choices. I could go and go to the bog with my dad, I could listen to stories my grandfather would be telling me, or just sit beside my grandmother during the day, no phones, no anything, walk up to the television and turn it to whatever channel you had to turn it to, because remotes were just kind of a bit fashionable, we'd say.
We were the remote.
early 80s, we were the remote, yeah. You know what, that was such, when you think back, such a safe place.
Oh, it was, yeah.
Such a really safe place. To go to your room was actually a safe place. You know, to be sent to your room or to go to your room, it was just, oh my, what are they doing to me here? Mm. I was actually, we've only one thing in feeling, that was, I was watching it. Mm. I'm being tortured here, something terrible.
Yeah.
But like, I seen kids being sent to their room. Not being sent, I probably haven't seen kids being sent to their room. Like, I have a niece, I have a nephew and stuff, and they've avenues of getting to these things, getting to these iPods, they're sent to the room with the phone. Mm. You know, we were sent to the room maybe to listen to music or you know, just to calm the beans down, and you're allowed back out, then you're allowed to come back out. And it was a safe place.
It was,
the gap between, and I'm only a new parent to all this game. I have a 19-month-old and I can see it. I can see how fast things are moving with her. And I can see the gap, though. You know, if we continue to be on our phones around Robin, like, I can see what she's looking, you know, she's her development is looking at us on our phones.
Of course, you see, yeah.
Turning the TV on first thing in the evening. We've taken a few bits and pieces away. No TV in the evening. And it's probably wrong in another sense until Robin's gone to bed. Like, you know, we're kind of giving it one end and taking it away in the other. But I see a huge gap between parenting and their kids because of, I'm holding it up here now, because of a phone.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you can do in a doctor's surgery on a plane.
Yeah.
Let's calm them down. The way of calming down anymore is give them the phone. Pepper bleeding pee. You know.
But let's be honest here. 1997, 1998, we kind of finished up school as such, are kind of like, you know, roughly around that. Yeah. Well,
95.
Yep. But think of then up to now. It's only 2022. We're talking roughly 25, 26 years ago, right? A lot has happened in that period of time, in the sense that look at the amount of technology that has come in. Like, I remember my dad years ago was probably one of the first lads in Tuam to have a phone. He had a business in town here. And if the phone rang down your pocket, which was like a sad of turf down your pocket because it was so big anyway, you were embarrassed that your phone rang. How am I going to answer this in front of people?
Oh, yeah.
So I think that would be another major mental health thing, you know, would be things have come so far. I think we're possibly only catching up with it. We seem to be running after technology all the time, in the sense that we hear of something on the news that's after being developed, something new that's after being developed. Like, I was only talking about something during the week called Audio Flow. which is a new thing where you can bring your phone into the toilet with you, leave it down, a man will go to the toilet as in make his wee, and it will judge the flow of your wee to see if there may be something wrong with your bladder or something wrong with your prostate. Like, this is new technology. This is constantly moving on. So where do you go? Like, you know, we're constantly catching up, and that has to be a struggle for a lot of people trying to find that way, right? Let's just move on for a second, because people are also going through a difficult time as well with sexuality. We have the LGBTQ community that are still having issues. Why do we still have a problem in this country after all we've done, all we've got through, legislation coming through, happy days, smiles on people's faces? Why do we still have an issue in this country with mental health when it surrounds sexuality? I thought we were a very open society. I thought Ireland had really come into its own. You know, we embraced everybody. Love is love. But there still seems to be this thing surrounding sexuality in Ireland. Are we still little old Ireland?
Yeah, maybe just my immediate reaction to that, Ronan, goes back to what we were saying earlier. You know, the language that's out there. And maybe we are a little old Ireland still, you know, and certainly great strides have been made. We're a certain generation. We have a generation, say, behind us. We have a generation in front of us. And it can be hard to speak for a younger generation. But, you know, the language is so important, because if you think about when we grew up, the way that people were referred to, it could be very nasty. Like,
oh,
it could be vicious. And, you know, you'd say stupid stuff yourself when you're younger too, because you nearly follow the herd. And obviously we're more reflective now. I think you're right, Ron. We've made strides, but we need to make a lot more. Tying it back to mental health, you know, who are you, what are you, etc., is so important in trying to come to terms with that. Because mental health affects everybody.
Yeah.
It's just, where are you in relation to your own personal mental health? And I think as a nation, when it comes to that, we might be on the way, but we've a long way to go. There is still a little old Ireland thing there to a degree.
There is, between the sexuality side of things and even the racism. There's still an awful lot of racism. You hear about it. Somebody might just tell you about something that happened on the news. I'll be honest with you, I'm disappointed that we haven't come further with that. I thought, you know, we might be kind of moving along nicely, but there's still stories. I know there's stories in every country. I'm not trying to say that we're any different to any other place. But I really thought, you know, I'm just disappointed that I thought we were further on.
Yeah.
What do you
think,
Dick?
Well, in sport as well, I guess. You know, do you know what I mean? It's sport also.
Yeah.
You see a lot of professionals at the moment there now, and they're coming out in male. I won't say it's certainly not dominated, because I think we're coming close to a level playing field at last between women and men in sport. Maybe not from a financial perspective, which is also wrong, but it's all got to do with, once again, your Pogba's, you're selling shirts, he can get 500 grand a week because he's going to make it for a club, he's going to make it for things, you know, stuff like that. In sport in general, looking at it from a rugby perspective as well, you're going back to that burly masculine element of it. Don't get caught looking at somebody in the shower in the wrong way. When I started playing rugby, like, you know, and that was sort of common knowledge, like, and staying down longer than you should when you're injured. You know, there was choice words used there also. And it was also meant towards Pansy, you know, going in along this level. And Andrew hit such a fantastic word there. And I really picked out on it. And it's reflection.
Mm.
We didn't choose to reflect in. Like, we just lived with a generation that had taught us this beforehand. And it is education. An awful lot of it is education. Acceptancy. You know, another thing. I've been to, in the last, and I mean, oh, it's just such a joy. To gay weddings. I've been to two or three in the last three or four years. Oh my God, like, it's such a breath of fresh air, because it's love.
Of course, you're
in the room and these two people are in love.
Yeah.
They're absolutely head over heels above one another. Like, I suppose when it comes to the male side of things,
with myself, I would be very open. I would have been, came from an open house, a forgiven house, very forgiven. And we would reflect on a lot of stuff. We were no angels. Mm. Don't get me wrong. I have neighbours that were fit to kill me, I'm sure, at times, you know. Water blooms and X, Y, and Z, all these mad stuff, you know. And yet you had such respect to apologise. The art of apology is gone also. Art of apology, you choose your words. And some people don't even think. And then the apology afterwards, it feels so forced.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We were never forced to go over. We seen sense in the conversation that went on in the house that we did wrong.
Yeah.
When people are saying it now, it's accepted. It's, you know, and then we pick them up again. We pick up our phone.
Well, sure, they're back into
what
it.
What a guard you can hide behind and call somebody.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Choice words over the phone. It's just,
yeah,
it's to move on, Ronan, Andrew. I honestly, I'd love to be so positive about things, and that's one thing I have taken in life in the last few years, is just to remain positive and stuff. But well, what we're speaking about there, it's come a long way, but it's got a huge, huge road to come.
It has, of course, but even apart from that, years ago. Now, okay, we've heard it obviously in football, hurling, rugby, different sports of people coming out. But the crazy thing about it is that years and years ago, can you imagine the amount of frustration that was built up inside heads? So let nobody tell me that years ago there was nobody that had, you know, a different sexual preference or whatever. They had, of course. Mm-hmm. But the thing was, don't say a thing. Shh. Yeah. Say nothing. You know.
That side remain unmarried. Like, suffer. God, yeah. Like, how?
Yeah, yeah.
How petty it was. I suppose we really are talking about the present. And how, you know, we move on so fast. Mm. We do move on from things so fast. Mm. We really, really do. Is it too fast?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and we've a lot of other issues that's gone on that's created serious mental health issues. But the topic we're on there at the moment.
Yeah. I just hope that we progress quickly on this, because we just, you know, we need to just come into our own as a country and just respect love is love. It's as simple as all and most important. Obviously, there's other sides of things, of course, with male mental health as well, which I won't delve into too much, because obviously there are different situations to do with, you know, abuse, maybe sexual abuse, things like that, that has its own side of things. And hopefully people that were sexually abused or physically abused or psychologically abused would get the professional help that they need for that. So most importantly, to step forward. Let's talk about very quickly, how can we change things? What should we do as a society? What should we do as people to, I suppose, mental health has been highlighted. That's fine. It's highlighted. It's everywhere. It's on billboards. But is there anything, do you think, on the ground that we can do to make it better and easier for people to approach and to get help? Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, the word that was swimming around my head there the last few minutes, just, well, in a different context, was just being active. Like, you have active conversation, you know, and you, I mean, what did we get our self-esteem from? It was through action, you know, and not going over old ground. But yeah, you have the phone, and Declan put it very well earlier, you know, and I'm not a parent now, but I must imagine it's a huge challenge to keep your child occupied. But if we think back, you know, we're all the same age here, you know, I would have seen yourself running in Finian's Rainbow in school in 1995. So I would have thought, right, brilliant actor, brilliant performer. Declan's playing rugby with men as a teenager. So Declan Slattery, great rugby player. You know, he's in there with men. You know, it's all about action, really. We didn't have to be on our phones. You know, one of my favourite memories as a teenager was, you'd be in school, you get your homework. And where did I go? Well, at 6 o'clock, I'd be where the creche is now, June Community Centre, waiting for Matty Mannion to open the door so we could play snooker. And we mentioned a couple of lads here, like Robbie O'Sullivan came up. Robbie O'Sullivan's a brilliant snooker player. Tommy Hines, Keith Costello, I'm referencing local lads here. And you bring the school back. And the deal I had with my parents was I'd have to have the homework done. So we didn't have phones. There was a long, I don't even know what it was. You couldn't even call it a bench. But we did it. So I'd do geography, history, and then you'd have your game. And I go home and I show the homework to the parents, and they were scratching their head. They couldn't give out to me because I had everything done. But then eventually, you know, you go into competitions, you win a couple of competitions. Okay, that's all fine. And my other interest, drama, came an awful lot later. But that's where we got our confidence from. Now, lads still do it today. Just this year in the school here, Jarlis won the senior, and I could see the lift it gives to lads. And a lad who gets a lead part in the opera. But it comes to action. So to bring it back to your question there, Ronan, you know, dialogue is action as well. So if we get used to being active and not have that thing in our hand where we're looking at it, and I sound like a raging hypocrite here because I'm on it, but, you know, I go on it, I look at it, I put up something quick, but then I move on as well. And you put it down, you move on. You get to action. The more active you are physically, the more active you are psychologically, you're not in a brain fog, you're not kind of distracted, the more open you are to having conversations. And like, having conversations is tough. Like, I yapping away here, and I grew to be a talker as I got older, but geez, I wasn't a talker as a teenager. Like, I didn't say boo. I would have been very shy, quiet. You find your voice later, but it was probably through, you know, playing sport or doing well at the drama. And once a lad or a girl finds their voice, it's like they're off to the races. That, you know, they learn how to talk, they learn how to communicate their feelings. So I'm just a big believer in the word action, as it were.
I think
being
action
active promotes so much.
Yeah, but action, I think the other thing is to reflect, as we spoke about earlier, to reflect on situations and to kind of just move them around in your head and see, is this right or is this wrong or whatever. And I think the most important thing is to get back to humanity, in the sense that mobile phones are cosmetic, let's be honest. They're grand for what they're used for, and whatever the case may be. But I think to be aware of your surroundings, the people that are in your surroundings, that's one thing that we were back in the 90s and 80s and 70s and everything else for that matter. We were more in tune with the people we were around because we had more time for them.
Definitely.
Does that sound
of
right?
Of course. Yeah, definitely.
You know, I think we were better friends as well because we were in tune with each other. And I think that the more that we, I suppose, you know, look after each other, I think the more we get to know whether somebody has an issue or a problem or if they'd like to approach. So I suppose always be approachable, be human, you know, reflect on situations and move on from there. The other thing about it as well, how do you deal with a situation where you do notice somebody outside of a school? Because obviously there's nearly an onus upon you as a teacher to bring something forward that you might notice to do with a mental health issue with a student. But how do you do that on the ground, Declan? Is there a situation where you turn around to Pieta, go directly to Pieta and say, look, I noticed there's a guy having an issue there? Or do you approach them to go to Pieta? What do you do? It's a very...
Is, yeah. Sure
where do you
is.
Go?
And as I always say, you don't know what level they're at until you speak to them.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. I have this ability just to read a person by their actions.
Thankfully.
Andrew spoke about actions there, and I'm going to have to bring it into it straight away there. And I can read people by their actions. And exactly, thankfully. And just kind of looking at that, no examples or anything here, but it's what you can do then. What avenue you can... we're only one person. Andrew's only one. One person in a minefield, if you ask me. And what's going to develop into a... You don't want it to, and we don't want to speak that way. You'd love to be able to just end it here and give everyone... It'd be Stepford, wouldn't it? It'd be pure Stepford Wives. Everyone would have the one brain, the one way of thinking and stuff. That's not us. That's not the way we're designed as humans.
No.
But to visually see that someone's struggling and not press another button there that's going to send them elsewhere, like that. That's huge. That's massive. That's foundation. Levels, then you're talking about. You get talking to somebody there and they uncover something, as you spoke about earlier. They could talk about abuse. They could talk something that you maybe can't relate to.
Yeah.
That's when you're at a level where you say, this guy needs, or this girl guy, they need serious help here.
So I suppose the most important thing at times really is to, obviously, if you're able to go and speak and try and get the problem halved. Problem shared is a problem halved, as they always say. But, you know, be that person there with the ear that's willing to listen too, and to just be around, I think, is the best way to do it. Because a lot of times, you know yourself, and lots of people will come up and say, do you know something, it was great to talk to you today. Thanks for that. I kind of needed that.
Yeah.
You know, I needed that.
They've got a story. Everybody has a story. Yeah. Everybody has. You know, the busker with the bottle of Buckfast.
Yeah.
Like, he's a story. Something sent him in that direction. Mm. Myself, something sent me here today to be sitting with you guys. Mm. Like, you know, we're all on a direction in life. We need to help. I think help is massive. I think it's huge. I think it's so lost. And once again, I'm going to pick it up. I shouldn't have it so near me. Sorry, lads.
I don't know.
The phone.
Yeah.
The phone, you know, sitting in a doctor's surgery, somebody's struggling to open the door to get in. 90-something percent of the time, somebody's on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, the secretary has to come out from behind the desk and make it look awkward and open the door for the person in the wheelchair, the person with the broken... You know, it's gone. A&E. You know, these spots where we should be, if we're not as bad as the person that's coming in, we should be able to help. We should, you know, help us.
I think the most important thing is a lot of people, most people are involved in some group or association that might have an interest in certain things in life. Not everybody is, but the majority of people would have a particular interest in different things. I think it's very important for all of those organizations, associations, groups, whatever you want to call them at this stage, football clubs, social clubs, whatever, to have something within their remit to do with mental health and just throwing it around the room now and again. Everybody all right? Everybody okay? Don't forget I'm always up here to talk. Do you know? Thumb up. If you want to talk, you know where I am. Here's my mobile number. Give me a shout or whatever. I think it's important that everybody has that or a group has that and let the people that are involved in the group know that you're there and that you'll help. There'll have to be some regulatory body, though, that's present that are literally the hub, as the man says, for it. But, and even at that, speaking of that, the last 2 years, you as a teacher, you as working, me as working, we worked in rooms on our own for quite a long period of time. The last 2 years have a humongous effect and had a humongous effect on every one of us, regardless of how you were able to handle it. It still affected us that you were in a room doing your job for 2 years, not knowing, the unknown was out there. We were all, as I put in the Connacht Tribune this week, we were all kind of like threats to each other by possibly passing on COVID. Do you know, that was a tough time.
Yeah, it was. It's ironic in a sense, Ronan, you know, we talked about the phone and the pervasive influence of the phone, but it was needed for a couple of years there in the job. You're right.
Absolutely. Like bring back the phone. But no, you're right. Yeah.
And God, even thinking there, just going back to what Declan said about the hammer, you know, like you're thinking about, well, two words that come to mind there, communication and boundaries, you know, and boundaries is a word that's been thrown around now. But and this idea, you know, common sense as well. Like, you know, we know when we've said the wrong thing. We know when we've said the right thing. And just maybe we need a premium on common sense again. Something we mentioned earlier that, you know, people don't know how to apologize anymore. I've actually thought that in the last year or two that, you know, we're in a free speech society. You know, you can't tell me that I can't say that. You can't tell me that I can't do this, etc. But, you know, common sense, decency, your own filter, it's in your mind. You know, and look, we're right about certain things, we're wrong about other things, but, you know, communication is so important. And just to steer it back to what we're talking about there, I was on a bit of a tangent, but suitability to the role as well. You know, when I wanted to become a teacher, initially I was thinking, okay, well, I like English. English was my best subject in school. And later on you realise, okay, well, I have a duty of care here. I have to be sensitive here. I have to prioritise the well-being above, you know, the seven questions that had to be done last night. If it's five, fair enough. You know, just genuine communication, you know, be it good, bad, or indifferent. And we mentioned the sporting field there, where communication, and it's something that I've learned a lot in years, and Declan has been in dressing rooms, and I've been in dressing rooms too. When I first started out in sport, you're fixated on winning, you know, we're St. Charles College, we have to win titles. And yeah, there's an historical pressure there. But ironically, in the year where we did win, all I wanted this year was last to enjoy it and last to be competitive and to try and be successful. Like Declan said earlier, when you're trying, you're winning. You can bring that into sports. You can bring it into life. But just enjoy the journey and to become close, and then make sure that every lad feels valued and feels a part of this, and they're given their all. And that just came down to communication. So it took us a while to bring COVID up, which was good in a way because it's been all pervasive. But the suitability to roles like that. I know what you're saying, Ronan, we do need regulation, but just suitability, you know.
Yeah.
That lad, that lady will be good in that role. They're not good in that role. They could be good at something else, not because they're eligible or because they were asked, but because that's something that would be natural to them.
And I think the other thing about COVID, no, don't get me wrong, it was a very difficult time, but maybe it did something good too, in the sense that it kind of brought us back a peg, which we all know, brought it back to the simple things in life. We started to walk again. We started to do things that we wouldn't have done if it didn't kick in. So I would hope to think that once COVID has kind of moved on, even though it's still knocking about, and that's fair enough, we understand that, the simplicity that it has brought us back to, will it make us more aware of the people that we're around? Will it make us more excited to be around people again, as we are? It's lovely to see a crowd now. Do you know what it is? It's lovely to see a crowd. It's lovely to see a group of people together. Do you think, could that possibly help with the whole idea of the male mental health, that you say, well, look, at I'm more aware of my friends now because I haven't seen them in so long. And geez, Johnny seems a bit quiet over there. Michael seems a bit quiet, a bit different than what I remember 2 years ago.
Yeah, not just on a Zoom call either. I noticed, not to cut across the room,
on Zoom calls, yeah.
Say, the local pub where I go to play pool now, I'm still playing pool. And, well, not snooker, but it's pool. But the amount of people that hugged each other when we weren't supposed to, and everyone was saying, you know, and just high fives, and lads who we'd kind of say hello to in the past, but great to see you. And maybe that kind of regulates again, but there was a lot of that too. People were just happy to see each other. So I think maybe you're right.
Then on the flip side of that, lads, I've seen people suffer from tremendous social anxiety.
Yeah.
Come back out into a crowd.
Yeah, I hear you.
People, and I, as we say once again, there'll be no names or anything, but people that loved a social outing or a social setting, and now they're out there and they're having a panic attack, they're having anxiety. There's another way of coming. There's, you know, and even to move on the generations and go to the older people, it's taken away endless amount of, you know,
yeah.
Like, who knows what we have? We haven't a clue. Like, we could leave here this evening. We don't have it. Nobody does. Like, it's what's mapped out. Is what, so they say, we don't know what's going to happen. Like, when you get on to say in your 70s and stuff like that, you know, it is ticking. It is ticking. No, you could go to the ton. Jeez, wouldn't it be mighty?
Jeez, I'll tell you, even to get the check from Michael D.
Yeah, get the kite. Like, to be unreal. But, like, seriously, when you do hit pension age and stuff, it probably has a massive mental effect on you also. There's a huge, I'd say, Ronan, to look at those statistics you mentioned earlier, to kind of go into an age bracket also of 50 to 70 males, guarantee you, you'd be on a big queue there because they've came through so much. And I don't think COVID has done them any justice at all. Like it's withdrawn them from maybe that social outlet they had, the poker, the, you know, the bits and pieces. And then it, coming back into that setting, they're socially, you know, Andrew said they're brilliant. And it's probably more a younger generation you're speaking about there. Maybe the odd old bucko as well, didn't mind throwing the old hug around. But it's probably younger generations to get to see one another and stuff and get to see each other again.
Yeah.
Or even our own generation, I'll be honest, which I've given a lot more than fish pumps when all these mask restrictions, everything was lifted. But it goes to show how disciplined too we can be as a society.
Well, we
when
kind of
a
had
pandemic,
to be,
when
really,
something
yeah.
hits. And yet, in my eyes, because of somebody with mental health and stuff, I seem to feel that it is a mental pandemic is brewing. It is brewing, like, because...
Well, it is because, as you said, the unknown is yet to come, in the sense that, obviously, we're still in the middle of it at the moment. It's like anything, you know, post-traumatic stress, stuff like that from war times of World War II, World War I, the amount of people that were weeks home, maybe months home, and then it hit them as to what happened years. Yeah. So look, the thing about it is, the most important thing is that we finish on a positive note today, and that's the key to it all. I think the most important thing is, and we'll finish up on this, you know, because we're over the hour, can you believe it? Is, I think, to reflect on situations, to keep an eye out for each other, look after each other, you know, do the right thing, to think about it before you make an action on it, and to just help each other, pretty much. Groups and associations, if they can, to try and get in with the whole idea of the mental health, help out in that respect and everything else. Is there anything else you'd like to add to it, lads, before we finish up?
I'd just like to say thanks for the opportunity. And obviously, to share the hour with yourself, Ronan and Declan, is massive food for thought, you know. I've really enjoyed the chat, and hopefully people get something out of it.
Well, I hope so too, because that's why I do these. I do them for, and that's why I wanted to do a discussion this time. I just think that opening the floor is a great way to do it. I think it's mighty. It shows different perspectives of different things, you know, and I think it's great. And from different backgrounds, of course, with the theatre and the school side of things and with the rugby side of things and, you know, me throwing me oar in the middle of it all as well. I just think it's good. And if we can help one or two or 10 or 20.
Definitely.
That's where we are.
We have it as an open. If people see where we're sitting at the moment and there's no script, there's nothing in front of us here. Why is a discussion? When you approached me and you spoke, Andrew was on board and stuff as well, which was only about 24 hours ago.
There was
no time for a script.
No.
So it is natural. What came here this evening is natural and stuff. And that's what we would hope. What you're doing here at the moment is, for me, alone. And that's not being selfish. Mm. What I'm taking away from this evening is absolutely massive. Because it's opened up and Andrew's wordage there and dialogue. And you've had so many great words there. Like, you'd know well there was the art of the poet, the writer, everything.
Absolutely, it's all there.
And what a natural way to come forth.
The check is in the post, Declan.
Never mind that. There'll be a script going across the room in a second.
It's far from a check. It's like if we can help one person, and I know it's such a cliche at times, take a mini step. Be 1% better every day. We hear these on a day-to-day basis. But I think I'm definitely living proof of keeping a foot forward is kind of a way to go. You've got to look back. Your history is your history. You know, it's a huge part of you. It's a huge part of you. Yeah, there's some nasty stuff. There's some, you know, some not so nice stuff. But if we can reach out to somebody here over the airwaves and just say to them, it's minimal.
Yeah.
And if you're not feeling it, go back to bed. Go back to bed and try that foot again tomorrow morning. Just try that foot. Make your way to the kitchen. Make a coffee. You know, I've seen all this crack that goes on social media. Get up there, you'll have muscles in 3 months, you'll do this, you'll do that. It's flawed. That's flawed. That's massively flawed. That's what I'd be finishing on is really do with that foot forward. And if you fall back into bed, so what? So what? Have another rest
and
to get out.
And there's always a better day. That's the key.
And there is. As I say, I'm evident of it here. Like, I'm sitting here, I'm having the chat. It's
good man.
It's been a great evening.
Thank you. Well, thanks to you both. And will we do it again?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you be up for another chat?
Definitely.
Everybody, thanks a million for listening in. I enjoyed today, really did. And we'll talk to you soon for the next podcast in 2 weeks' time. Bye-bye.
If you have been affected by anything you heard in this podcast or seek professional advice, contact Pieto West on 093 25586.